The Lord, praise the Lord. There we are, praise the Lord. We got fire in the hole. Good to have all of you today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. Yep. Cheryl's got a praise report she wants to read to you or tell you or something.
Good afternoon. I've been walking in an understanding of the truth for a while. I knew the word of my father was true, but Brother Scrivener's teaching have helped me more fully beginning to walk in this truth. I came to the healing school this last Saturday. Sunday afternoon, I had a chance to exercise my faith. My sister told me that our mother's sewer was clogged. There are a few things I dislike more than running a Roto-Rooter. I went by with my wife to drop her off some lunch, and my wife prayed over the toilet. We didn't have time to really check it out right then, but I came back by later. When I arrived, I also prayed over the sewer line and told the clog to clear out. Amen. I knew in my heart that the clog was gone, so I thanked the Father, and I then had my daughter flush each toilet to prove to my mom and sister that I no longer needed the Roto-Rooter. The clog was gone, so there was no more backup. Isn't our God such an awesome God? All praise and glory be to our Father in heaven, Charles Savage. Yeah, that was really good.
Praise the Lord.
Sends
an angel by to unstop your toilet.
Yeah, really. Okay. Y'all know it's Christmas. You can tell it's Christmas. Christmas here. Kim and I were out shopping last night at Kohl's from 4:30 till 10-something. 9:30. Okay. Long time, it seemed like. And yesterday, I had $6,780 worth of Kohl's cash I had to go spend before Wednesday, and I kind of have some other things to do. So last night was my goal to get out of my pocket. And so we bought a lot of things for Grace, and microwaves and electric griddles and electric skillets. And they wanted big 8-place settings for a big family. So I found these 40-piece dish sets. And, the little bullets, they had blenders I'd already bought, but the little bullets to do the one drink thing. And, and pots and pans. We've got 20 different pots and pans that were out in the aisle. I just go by and say, I want this, 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 and this, and they just go bring them up there. Well, I called my son, Scott, and I said, hey, Scott, he said he was in Dallas. I said, could you swing by Kohl's in South Lake and help me out? Of course, he walks in, and there's all these racks of stuff. And he goes, I didn't know you were doing this. And I said, yeah, I'm doing this. So I got him to load up my SUV and load up his truck, and I called the people at Grace, and they met us over in Grapevine at the Grace Christmas Cottage, and with 4 people besides us, and we just unloaded everything, and they were just so amazed, and of course they're just so blessed. And they invite anyone that wants to come Wednesday, November the 30th, I think it's at 4:30, they're going to have their open house. And it's really neat, and you would really love to go to it. So far, with the help of some friends, Martin and Chris Demeris, am I saying it correct? Okay. They got married a couple of months ago and out in the park, and Thurman did the wedding. And later on, Martin came up to me. He's a master jeweler, and he's down at the World Trade Center. And he said, I gave him a bunch of those yellow flowers y'all get every week. And he said, well, I'm going to pass some of those out and see if I can help get you some things, because I had my list of what everybody wanted. And he did. He showed up this past week, and he brought over $22,000 worth of stuff. Wow.
Hey,
that's right.
Amen.
You tell me. And like about 22 different people gave from there. You know, they gave clothes, they gave jewelry, they gave trees. You should see these trees. We sent Scott and my son and Kathy, our office manager. There's a woman her name's Jamie, and she lives over in the government apartments in Justin. She has 2 little boys. They're 3 and 18 months. And so I don't know how Kathy met her, but at one point she had bed bugs, and Kathy helped get all that out of there and get her new bedding for she and her children. And then she got her to start coming to church at the Rock over there. She doesn't have a car, so she has to walk everywhere she goes. She's close to a food store, and the Rock's right there by the food store. So that's where we got these gray pews. They gave them to us. And so she just had her on her heart, because Kathy's story, if most of y'all probably already know this, she was, when Thurman met Kathy, she was living in her car with her little baby, Caitlin, who's now in college, and who also has memorized 1,500 scriptures that,
3,
you know, 3,500, she's up to 3,500, well, she's way past me, you know, anyway, and she's in college, this is her first year, and so Kathy's got a heart to help the single women, you know, because she wasn't married with a baby, and this woman is not married either. So she gets Scott to take the red tree and to take 3 bags of all these different balls and everything, and they go over there, and when this little boy, 3-year-old, sees Scott, and she sent us the pictures. I wish we could, we didn't think about putting them up. Maybe I can get Dave to do that next week. But this little boy is screaming in delight, you know, with this tree and everything. He is just so happy. And it was the first time they'd had a tree in 7 years. So these kids had never had a tree. So they were so blessed. And then we also went out a few days before that, and I bought both the kids clothes. And then I had gotten across that Madison had sold me some stuff, and it's a real pretty cross on a leather strap. And I asked Kathy, did she want to give it to her for Christmas? So she wrapped that for her. And also she pulled out a lot of the clothes that when we got all this stuff from Martin, I didn't really go through it. I just said, okay, this goes to Grace, this goes to Justin Community Closet, just to get it out of here, because it's a lot of stuff, you know. And so she went, but before she went the next day, she went through it, and she got a lot of clothes out, because there was preschool clothes, baby clothes, and then there was also some women clothes. So she got some things for the family, as well as the fact that in December the 11th, we go downtown Dallas on Sunday to get toys from Dallas Children's Charities, which is the Margarita Ball, the Margarita Society, and they give wonderful toys. I mean, the toys are like at least $100 a piece. They give wonderful toys. And last year they gave us $500. This year I've asked for $1,500, and I believe God's going to let us have it. So far we've raised $81,988. Yay. And we have blessed 7,873 children and 189 families. That's another yes, that's a lot. We make everything go a long way. And so we have the beautiful Solomon girls. Would you all please stand up, young ladies? Right back there, that's Rebecca and Nina and Mara, and they have their own little business, and it says, I'm a princess and every girl must sparkle. So they have little jeweled beret things and to sell to you, as well as they made chocolate chip cookies and chocolate cake, is that correct? And they're selling that today. It's homemade. So we thank you for that. Well, the first week they did all this, they gave the children $145. Last week they gave the children $103. So they've been very productive. They give all their funds to the children. Not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday is the open house at Grace. And if any of you are participating in helping with this Christmas benefit we do, it's really a blessing to go there and see what they do. I mean, it just touches your heart so much. And then November 4th, 2 more Sundays, is our Christmas, it's actually our 9th anniversary for the church being built, as well as it's our Christmas party for the church, and everybody needs, it's a potluck dinner, so would everybody please bring something that day on December the 4th. Okay, December the 12th, which is a Monday, is when we have our party at Christ Haven for Children over at Paradise Cove. Okay, and it's on the yellow sheet. It starts at 5. We would love for, well, and if you want to help in any way, you can come earlier here, about 2:30. We start sacking up everything. We load up the big 24-foot truck. We go over there, and there's a book back there that shows you all of that. Right there where Kevin's sitting, there's actually all the books from all the years, but there's a brand new book back there of last year. So we take everything over there. We set it all out. We put all the Christmas presents out. We get all the food. They're providing the food again this year for us at Paradise Cove. And then we serve the food to them. So you can help serve. You can help cut cake. You can, you know, there's just all kinds of things that you can do. You can help pick up the trash when they start opening their presents. There's just different things that, you know, you can be of service at that day if you'd like to come in. Plus, it's just really feels good. We did get 2 more children this past week, and it was part of it was a little sad for me. Austin, who's been in the program, I know, since he was like 5, and he's 13 now. He got to get out of the program. Well, he's back in the program, which means things didn't go too well at his home. So I felt sad for him, and they sent us his list and another little, he's 13, and Charlie, she's 5. And they sent their list, and I've already got that covered, already bought it, and they're almost all of us wrapped and ready. So God's providing. He always has. He always tells me when I go, oh, God, I need more money. He always says, have you ever been short? And I go, no. So, no, he's never short. He's always way ahead of me. And so we've got about 3 more weeks. Okay, so on the 11th, when we go down and get the Christmas presents, that's the day that Justin is doing their giving for Christmas. On the 12th, we have the party at Christ Stabian in Paradise Cove. On the 18th, which is the following Saturday, at Grace, they're giving away the toys we bring them. They don't normally have toys because this started 3 years ago when I took them toys. And they always had broken toys and never had new toys. So this is their 4th year to have toys, and they're just so excited. So instead of putting the pressure on me that I have to go downtown and then go to them and try to figure out what I had, they said, no, we'll do it next week. We'll have them come 2 weeks in a row. And I thought that was really great and gracious of them to not put all that stress on us. And so they're doing theirs on the 18th. The Salvation Army is also doing theirs on the 18th. And they just sent me their list. I have not bought for them yet. I'm almost completed the Grace. Like I said, we did a load last night. My car's full right now. We'll take another load. I've only got to do large tool sets and one other thing. There were 2 things that I didn't have for them yet. I'll think of it later. But anyway, I'm almost through with them. And then I have to start with Salvation Army, and their party is on the 18th. And then Grace, they go all the way from, they start on December the 8th and they end December the 22nd. But like she told me last night, she said, if you have any needy families, you bring them to me. And even though they only do Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake because it's me, they, like last year, I think it was last year, year before, they helped us with a family that was over Bridgeport. It was in Bridgeport. And they let them, they just blessed them so. And so I was already thinking about that, the little family, you know, they have bicycles, they have everything. And that maybe that little 3-year-old could get him a bicycle, you know. So I get Kathy to come down there and let them go through. So God's good. He's blessing lots of people, but there's a big need out there. And then there's also one other thing I want to do. I've been talking to my husband about it. The lady that was running the Christmas at Salvation Army last year, she's now over, Baker's something. It's like, it's a Feed the Homeless and Baker, what did I call it, Baker's Meal? I don't know. I've got it written down. But I called her to find out. We had some people that needed places to stay. And so I had her cell, and I called her and then found out she's now executive director over this food pantry. And so I told her I would also help her. So I want to give her money. It'd be great if I could give her money for Thanksgiving and also for Christmas. But, you know, if anybody's moved to help us with this, well, just put on your check or your donation, put Christmas or children. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart. Y'all are all precious to us. And more than that, God, he sees what we're doing. And the lady last night. We're standing in line now. We've brought all this stuff up, and we're checking out. Kim and I are, and we're sacking. You know, they're ringing, we're sacking, and we're getting it all together. And this lady says, and we have flatbed carts, and she says, what are y'all doing? And I said, well, we're helping these children. So I hand her one of the little yellow flyers, and she kind of backs up, and she glances at it, and then she says, well, I want to pay for something. I said, oh, great. What would you like to pay for? She said, well, I want to put her $100 on my card. I said, great. So when we got it to a point, you know, she shoved her card in, and she paid her $100, and it's like just a stranger in a store seeing that you're blessing a bunch of people. They want to get in on the blessing too. So, you know, amen. Blessed to be blessed.
Amen. Well, that's what the Lord says. He said, give and it should be given unto you, did he not? So his word never comes back to him void. It always will accomplish whatever he set it out to accomplish. So we also know that the church is a place to pray. And so I want you to come up here. Right now, and we're going to pray with this boy. He has cerebral palsy. But as Jared comes forward, he's making his way down here. How many of you men in here know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Okay, the scripture says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I am a man's man, and I know a lot of you men are men, man's mans. So I want every one of you men that know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are the righteousness of God in Christ, I want you to come up here and lay hands on him with me, and I want us all to pray a prayer over this boy. So will you please come forward, you men that are men of God, that know that Jesus made you the righteousness of God, know that you're sons of God, and know that your prayers get answered. We know that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you only say, be healed in Jesus' name, that's okay. I'm not looking for a long, drawn-out prayer. One of the most powerful things I ever saw Jesus do in my life, I spoke the simplest prayer I ever spoke in my life.
Huh? You want to know any of the wall?
No. I want every one of you to do something. I'm just going to start, and I'm going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this boy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I want every one of y'all to say something simple and pray for this boy. Complete healing. Lord, complete healing on this young man from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Complete restoration, complete healing. He's redeemed from the curse. Father, we thank you that you said the prayer of a righteous man. Well, Lord, we got a whole bunch of your men, and they all know that you made them righteous. So, Lord, we're going to expect you to do a great and awesome thing and glorify your son as you heal this young man from cerebral palsy and make him completely well. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all the men said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, praise God. We believe you're healed in Jesus' name. Okay. Okay, men, if y'all want to shake his hand as you go by, that's okay. Do something. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 We've seen God do awesome things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Okay. You can go sit down. Thank you, Jared. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Only one prayer God can't answer. It's the one that we don't pray. We can ask for anything, and we in this church here know that we serve a God that answers prayer.
Amen.
Don't we, gentlemen?
Yes.
Don't we, ladies?
Yes.
We all know that the God that we serve here, he answers prayer, and he answers them big time.
Amen.
We have seen him do some awesome things, and one thing we've learned about God, that there's not anything difficult for God. Nothing. I mean, after I saw him put my granddaughter back together, I realized there, and I watched him clean out Cook's Medical Center. You know, I mean, I've had people say, you know, if you're such a great man of faith, why don't you go down to the hospital and clean it out? I said, I've already been there and done that. I'm way ahead of you. So in the name of Jesus, it's happened. And many of you have done things like that. You have went to the hospitals and prayed for people and seen our God do awesome things. Now, Lord, the one thing we didn't do here that we're going to do right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, this young man's parents, whoever they are, we remit their sins.
Amen.
Every sin they have committed, because we know everybody, I don't care who it is, has sin in their life. Nobody is without sin. But you said in your word that whosoever sins, us, the righteous church forgives, they're forgiven. So, Lord, thank you that they're forgiven, and thank you now that this boy is healed, and he's going to come back to church here in the very near future and give us a testimony of how he's completely healed in Jesus' name, just like many of the rest of you have. We have so many awesome testimonies in this church of people that have been healed. We could take up the rest of the 2 hours if we had time just for you to stand up and tell what God has done for you and your family. We've seen so many people healed. But God, he does things in his own timing. Just like little Jenna out there, the pictures of Jenna. We prayed for Jenna for a year and a half. And then after a year and a half, we finally found the sin of the mother. And when the mother repented of her sins, one more simple prayer, and God started, obviously, the healing process instantly, but it still took 2 more weeks for that little girl to be completely healed. But boy, was she completely healed. Wow, did he do a great work on Jenna. You know, and I love it when I get a praise report like the other day from Jenna's mom. Said that, Pastor, thank God that y'all knew the principles that you've learned. And we prayed over Jenna. Said, Jenna, she's 17 years old today. And she said her skin is literally glowing. Said she's so beautiful. That's the kind of work our God does. So, you know, he does good work. And so we want to just praise him and thank him. Now, Lord, I want to praise you and thank you for what's going on in government. I want to thank you that you're going to give the new team wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about you and who you are, and that we're to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ in government in the United States of America. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to send angels to block everything bad that Obama's trying to do to destroy this country. Lord, I watched Jay Sekulow last night, and Jay, one of the best lawyers in Washington, said Obama is doing everything he can to destroy America in these last 2 months and a half. So, Lord, send angels or send men like Jay Sekulow or whoever, Lord, to block everything negative or detrimental that the last president of this country is trying to do to destroy this country. Lord, open his heart to the understanding of who you are, because obviously he don't know you. And Lord, that's the best thing we could do. We rebuke the spirits that are blinding his mind to the truth of the Word of God. Now, Lord, open his understanding to the Word of God, because if he becomes a born-again Christian before he gets out of office, Lord, that I don't know a single human being on the earth that ever got saved that said, I wish I hadn't got saved. I don't care who you are, how bad you were, how wicked you were, whatever. When you got saved, all you can do is say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, I was in a service one night over at Lakeland Baptist Church, and it was a pastor, older guy, and he said, I've been preaching for 60 years. And he said, I want to know before I preach tonight, how many of you in here know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many? So I looked around, and I think everybody in the place was holding up their hand. He said, okay, now I want to ask a second question. He said, how many of you that accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior are sorry you made that decision? Not one single. He said, you know, I've been asking that question for years and years and years, and I always have a lot of response on the first one. He said, I've never had anybody say they were sorry that they accepted Jesus. I mean, once we learn who we are, and what we can do, and how we can pray, and when the prayers of righteous people, which is us, and we were made righteous because of what he done, not what we done, and how we can pray and pray in faith for people and see him heal and touch people. I love serving a God that does that, don't you?
Yeah.
And this God that we serve in this church, wow, he has touched people's lives. Now then, Lord, we just thank you. Again, we just want to praise you and thank you for being the King, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods, and the one that's going to do great things. And you're going to put the men in office that you want, the men and the women in places you want them. And you're going to give these men knowledge and wisdom, and women, you're going to give all of them knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And we're going to have a group of people that's in office that when the rest of the world looks down, they say, wow, what is different about this place? And they come and check us out, and they find out we are what we are because of the God that we serve. And his name is going to be Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed, and we're going to get that back in school. The textbook is going to be the Bible. It's going to be read again in school. We are decreeing a thing. We are decreeing that the children, every child, will get a chance to read the Word of God as they go to school. And then they'll have teachers that will understand the principles of the kingdom, and that those people that don't know, that will not be in there. We don't want them. We want them to know, because I know that if you will read God's Word, it cannot help. It can't not change you. Is that right, Miss Jackie? I mean, if you read the Word of God, It's gonna change you. So we're grateful to the Lord for what he's gonna do. Now today I want us to talk a little bit about this God, and we're going to use 1 John. We're going to start with 1 John chapter 1, and I want us to look at some things, and we're going to see how things work in the principles of the kingdom. We're going to see who we are, what we can do. We can do all kinds of things, and we're going to find out a little bit about this God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. I want you to stop and think about that a second. If you didn't know me, and you had heard that there is a man that's a pastor of a church called the Living Savior Church, and it's out in Argyle, Texas, and that he preaches out there every Sunday, and you heard somebody tell you all about it, even the God that he talks about even does miracles out there once in a while. And you say, wow, are you sure? Yes, I know. I went out there one Sunday. And when I went out there, when I left there, my life was changed. I met God at that place. And so whoever you're telling this to now, these people say, no. I got completely healed out there. My grandchild got healed, heart made whole. I mean, the heart that wasn't going to work. One day you'll get to tell this testimony.
No heart.
Yeah, there was no heart in this child. No heart. But whenever the child was born, all of a sudden there's a heart in it.
One second before he was born.
I mean, I realize that's not very significant, you know. For God, was that a piece of cake?
Amen.
Yeah, for God. We got to remember who we are and who we serve. But, you know, if people tell you these kind of things, I mean, just like the other day when I was at the airport. You know, I was sitting there, and some of you have heard me tell this story before, but it's a good story. But Dave and I was going somewhere, and I sat down there, and there's an older lady come over, and she said, sir, would you watch my bag while I go to the bathroom? I'm having a bladder problem. I said, is there a bomb in that suitcase? She says, laughed and says, no. I said, well, you don't look like a terrorist. You look like a normal American. You can tell who terrorists are. I mean, you really can. If you got any discerning of spirits at all, you can tell. So anyway, she goes to the bathroom. When she comes back from the bathroom, she sits down. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Well, yes. I said, well, have you prayed about that bladder problem? No. I said, have you ever seen God do a miracle or answer a prayer? No. Now, isn't that a shame? But there's so much of the church like that. They've never seen God answer a prayer. I said, well, I would pray for you. She said, have you ever seen an answer to prayer? I said, yes, ma'am. A few. I said, let me show you a little girl that I prayed for. And I pulled out my picture of Jenna. Those pictures are out there on the wall. Most of you here already know the story of her. But I pulled out the picture and I looked at, showed her, and she says, what happened to that child? Was she beaten? Is that burns or what is that? And I said, no. She said, who did that? I says, God. Now that's a hard one to swallow. That God would do this to this little child. But he's the one who does it, isn't he, according to the word? So anyway, I said, but you know, she said, oh my goodness. I said, well, and it was the mother's sin that caused it. She looked at me and she says, are you for real? I said, yes, ma'am. So we looked at the picture, and I says, now, but after the mother repented of her sin, of deceiving and lying to her husband, I prayed another prayer, and I said, in 2 weeks, this is what she looked like. And I showed her the picture of Jenna, and she looked at that picture, and she looked at those other pictures, and she says, Photoshop. That's not real. That's not real. Is it a shame that the church is living in a place like that? But let me ask you, how many of us have been in a church that lived like that? I've been there. I hold up both hands. I've been in a church that never taught me the principles of the kingdom. I had no idea what was rightfully mine. I had no idea that I could call people up and pray for me, and God would answer my prayer. But even Smith Wigglesworth had that problem.
You know, Smith used to on Sunday afternoon over in England after they get through the church, all the sick people, he'd load them up in a wagon and drive them 10, 15, 20 miles, whatever, way down the road to a church where God healed and get people to be prayed for. One day the pastor down there said, why are you bringing these people all the way over here from your church? He said, because when you pray for them, they get healed. He said, don't you know if you pray for them in your church, they'll get healed too? He said, no, I didn't know that. Now, this is one of the greatest men of faith that ever walked on the earth, Smith Wigglesworth. But this goes to show you, back in those days, he had no idea. So he thought, okay, God, that pastor said, I got to take and use these scriptures, and I pray here, and you'll heal these people for me. So he's just like all the rest of the people, Scott. He prayed, and God showed up.
Amen.
And then he's just like the rest of us. Wow, it really happened. It worked. Isn't that something? But these men that we're talking about here today, these men didn't just hear about him. They have eat with him. They shook hands with him. Isn't that something? The spirit of life in the body of Jesus Christ, we have seen him. He's real. I've felt him. I've eaten with him. I've walked with him. But let me tell you what. Today, as a son of God, and if you see into the spirit world, you do that same thing every day. You walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you, Miss Paula? He is right there every day. We have the option of praying in faith, believing with no doubt in our heart, and there is nothing, is there, Gracie? Nothing limited by what he can do. Whatever you can pray and believe, just like the scripture says, Matthew 18:19, if two of you, and you and your husband are two, and the two of you agree about anything, what did he say to do, Mike? Whatever you ask. So is he here every day? Is he here in this room right now? Is he sitting beside you?
Yes.
Is he sitting inside of you?
Yes.
He's here. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods is in this building today. And when we realize that, just think, wouldn't it be awesome if I could be walking along here like this and say, he's right here with me. And all of a sudden he said, I'm going to show these folks something. And he puts his arm on my shoulder and say, look, folks, I'm really here. Now, wouldn't that shock you? You know what some of you would do? Run out. That's kind of like whenever Jesus went over and cast the demons out of the people over. When he went out there and cast those demons out, and she went back and told everybody about what happened and everything, and they came and they saw what he'd done, and they saw the pigs that had run down the cliff and drowned, and they said, we want you to leave. We don't want you in our country. I'd hope that would not happen in this place. I would hope we would say, Lord, you're welcome in this place. Is that right? He is welcome. So we have to realize, just because he did what he said he did there with him, they ate with him, they slept with him, they touched him, they walked with him, they felt of him, they did everything. You and I need to get into the spirit that we are living that close to the Master every day. Because this is the mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now then, somebody asked me a question the other day. Can you explain to me, first they asked me a question. Do you believe in the Trinity? I said, absolutely. God, Father, and Holy Spirit. Explain that to me, they said. I said, there ain't no human being on earth can explain that to you. They can tell you anything they think, but I guarantee that's something you have to take by faith. You have to just believe that he is. Because can I see him right now? Not really, but yet I can see him because I'm walking in the Spirit. And when I look at each one of you, who do I see?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's absolutely right. I'm looking at Jesus. So When one of you, just like the other day, I got tickled at Kathy, my little girl, my sister, my daughter. And like Cheryl said, when I met Kathy, she was living in a car with a brand new baby. No husband, nothing. She's all by herself. I met her, and she don't know what to do, where to go, or nothing. Well, I talked to her about Jesus and lead her to Christ, get her saved. Then a while later, she went to the Baptist church up there when I was a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church in Justin. And I'll never forget the day. Everybody knew me in the Baptist church. They knew I was this out yonder guy. I was not normal. I absolutely was not normal. And praise God that I was not normal.
Amen.
But anyway, a couple of older ladies were there, and they were lovely ladies, you know. So whenever they come up, and I said, and this is Kathy. And they shook hands with her and everything. And, of course, little Kathy, she'd never been to church, no kind of church. She didn't know nothing about God. So here Kathy is. When she reaches over to shake hands with them, she reaches over and says, hi, how are you doing, ma'am? And starts talking in tongues. And so she don't even realize she's doing it. And then she turns over to that one, goes over to the next one, gets her hand, says, oh, I'm Kathy Bailey, how are you? And starts talking in tongues. And I'm sitting there watching these two women from the Baptist church. One of those ladies reaches over to Kathy and says, Kathy, just be patient, it will go away. I looked right at Kathy and I said, don't you ever let that go away. Don't you ever cool off. You remain red hot to the Son of God. And let me tell you, she has done that. That girl has stayed hot. So the other day I got tickled at her since her daughter left to go to school, college. She said, now, Papa T, Mama will need several hugs a day when I leave. So anyway, last week she did something, and I told her I needed her to do something. And, of course, she didn't do it exactly like I wanted, so I kind of reprimanded her a little bit. And she changed. She said, okay, now I've got it done right. Now then, I've got to have a hug. I said, nope, no hugs. Then she looked at me, she said, but Papa T, I can't go if you don't hug me. I said, okay, come over here. So she come over there and grabbed me, just like my 38-year-old daughter would. My daughters, I told Cheryl the other day, I said, you know, now I know I'll let you deal with all the girls all the time because all they want's a hug. But, you know, isn't it amazing that we have this wonderful, awesome God, and I'm trying my best to teach Kathy how to be that overcomer she needs to be, and she's learning. But she has a compassion, like Cheryl just told you a while ago, when Martin brought out these Christmas trees this last week, the red one. I mean, the green one was beautiful, too, but the red one, man, it was wild. And so Kathy said, oh, this lady and her two children would love to have that tree. They have not had a tree during each kid's life. So I'm telling you, we loaded that thing up, and they took it up there to that apartment and stood it up. And those two kids, especially that three-year-old, he went wild. You know, a tree. He never had a tree. You know, now you take that for granted. You know that?
Yeah.
You can. I mean, you are serving the Lord. And by serving God, he has blessed you, and you have failed to even say, thank you, Lord. Most of us do. Most of us do, don't we, Miss Jackie? We really don't go around saying, Lord, thank you for all the good things. I praise you and worship you and thank you. But he's there. And the reason we don't do that is because we don't realize he's there. Until something happens, like some kind of a miracle or something that comes along, and we pray for somebody or whatever, and we see a miracle. Like Jenna or like this lady. Of course, now that lady at the airport, when she said that's Photoshop, she was a white lady too, by the way, as if it doesn't make any difference. But a little bit later on in the flight, I ran into a real pretty little black hostess. And I was back in the back walking around the airplane. And I asked her when I went back to the bathroom, I said, young lady, are you a Christian? She said, oh, absolutely, I'm a Christian. I thought, boy, this girl, wow. So I said, can I show you a testimony? She said, sure. So I got out the pictures of Jenna, and I showed, oh, my goodness, how awful she looks. What happened? Did she get beaten or burned or what? I said, no, it was mother's sin. And I said, mother's sin. I said, when she repented and we prayed in 2 weeks, this is what the little girl looked like. And I showed it, flipped it open there, and she looked at that, and this is what she said. Remember, The other lady said, that's Photoshop. This young lady here today, when I showed her the other picture, she looked up at me and she's, that's my Jesus. Which one of those girls you think had been with him and felt him and touched him and eat with him? Which one? The second one. I guarantee the little gal, the little hostess, she had realized that she's walking with God. You are too, though. We all need to realize that these boys didn't just have a blessing to walk with him and eat with him and sleep with him and talk with him and everything else. They have no more privilege than we do because we are with him. We have got to get to where we believe we can see into the spirit realm because that's where he's at. To those that are led by the Spirit, they are the true sons of God.
Amen.
Are we a son of God?
Yes,
we are. So I just stand in awe to think what we can do when we realize that we have been with Jesus. In fact, I guess it was yesterday or day before yesterday, Cheryl and I went down, I think it was at lunch for something at Mom's Cafe. And we ordered our stuff, and there was a man and his wife leaving. And as they left, he come over and he said, oh, Thurman, how are you doing? And I looked up, and there is a man that I worked with at Sky Chef for 7 years. And he said, wow. He said, good to see you. I said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. And he said something like this to his wife, I never saw a miracle. I never saw a healing. And God was just something that I dreamed about until this man came to work at Sky Chef. When this man came to work at Sky Chef, he said, God became awesomely real in that place. Because I walked through that place, I kicked out demons, I healed the sick, I did everything Jesus told me to do. I did it because I knew that I'd been with the King. I knew the King was with me every day. And that man, he said, Thurman, you changed my life forever. He said, I will never be... In fact, I think he went down to Mike and Gracie's a few months earlier than that, and Mike said, when he come down there and we got to talking, he said something about going to church, and I said, well, we go to Thurman Scribner's church. And he said, we got started on that, and he said, man, he said, that man, he said, there's times he just broke down and cried about the testimonies and the things that he saw while he was at Sky Chef. And he's still there. He's still working for them. You've got to get to the point where you realize that when these men that we're reading about here in 1 John, that they can say, I believe in him because I've handled him. I've ate with him. I've touched him. I've felt him. I've slept by his side. We might have been laying on the ground sleeping, and I laid my head on his leg. I mean, I have slept with the Master. Do you sleep with him every night?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He never goes away. He's always there. You can't get rid of him. Yeah, you don't want him. You want him to be there, right, just Jackie? Yeah, but he is there. He promises to never forsake you and never to leave you. So you can't get rid of him if you want to, if he's your son, if he's your Lord and Savior. But you need to spend some time with him. And the more time you spend with him, the more you begin to realize who you are. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with the King. Christ in me, the hope of glory. When I look at you, who do I see?
Jesus.
Absolutely, Jesus. And so when we do that, we realize who we are, what we can do. So then whenever you need to pray for somebody, if you know that he's always there and you've studied and you know what his will is, you can pray for people knowing he's going to heal them.
Amen.
Every time.
I
don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm going to believe it ain't going to be long until Jared's going to come back here one day and he's going to be healed completely, totally. And he may be even running up and down the aisle doing handsprings or something, you know. We can't tell what God's going to do with that boy, but we prayed. Now it's in God's hand, and we prayed in faith. Every one of you men touched him in the name of Jesus. And see, this way, when you have a group like that, pray for somebody whenever the healing comes. There is no doubt in our mind who did it. It certainly wasn't one of us, that's for sure. But he did tell us to lay hands on him and pray, did he not? So, wow. Okay, let's go to the next verse. So the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was from the Father and was manifested unto you. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's as real today to you and me as it was to them when they wrote this 2,000 years ago. That eternal life that He says that we have there, we have that. That belongs to you and me. I am a son, and you are a son or a daughter of God. Next verse. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know, I got so tickled the other day at a couple. They drive about 5 hours to come to a healing school. I mean, I forget now where they live, out in West Texas somewhere, I believe. But it's about a 5-hour trip for them to come to a healing school. She said, when they came in, I said, it's good to see y'all today. She said, you know, we had to come to another healing school because, she said, we get all of your stuff that you send out. And we listen to every one of them as soon as we get them, and usually listen several times. But she said, there's not anything like the real thing. You know what she means? I said, so what do you mean by that, the real thing? She says, when I come here, and said, usually my husband and I sit on the front row, if we can get on the front row, at least the first one or two seats back. And she said, when we leave here, and said, usually we spend the night and stay over Sunday so that we can go home Sunday afternoon, because said it's nearly a 5-hour drive to our house. She said, as we leave here, we feel like we have had a shot of adrenaline in our body. Both my husband and I, and she said, you don't get that as much from just listening to the tapes. But she said, boy, when you're here, it's like you can say, and I reached over and I touched her, and she's real. Isn't that something? She prayed for me, and I got healed. Now, isn't that wonderful? So whenever Kim and Scott, as one of the prayer teams, reaches over and touches you and you get healed, and we've had many people that they prayed for get healed. Doesn't matter which prayer team it is. We've all had great results from all of you. But whenever you touch somebody and they get healed, you know what? You know, it's amazing how this works. When they call me and say, Pastor, is Scott Smith available? I said, why? Well, I need prayer. I said, well, we got a whole prayer team. Yeah, but he prayed for me with his wife one time, and I got healed that day. So I know God answers his prayer. Or one of them will come in and say, is Mike and Gracie there? You know, what do you mean, Mike and Gracie? Well, I need prayer. I said, we got a whole prayer team. But Mike and Gracie prayed for me, and I got healed that day. So I want them to pray for me. Now, isn't that a wonderful problem to have? I love it. But people, when they get healed, when they come here and they get healed, they don't think, here's what's wrong. You're believing they are doing it. And it's not they. It's the King of Kings. Is that right? I mean, we know that, and we give him the glory, and we don't want, that's why I had everybody come up a while ago that would, and we touched Jared, because when he gets fully, completely restored and made whole, here's what you can do. You can be like Tony was over there at Lakeland that time whenever Ed Brock, when we prayed for Ed Brock, he had terminal cancer, and we prayed for Ed that night for 2 hours, and 28 men prayed for 2 hours. And then it took 6 more months. 6 months after we prayed, a man with terminal cancer was completely healed. But you know what? There was no doubt about it. In fact, that's the next. After we prayed that Monday night for Ed Brock's healing, the next Sunday morning, Dr. Ben Smith, the pastor of that church, had to preach a message on James 5, 14, 15, and 16, that what we did was scriptural. Because he had some people in the church come to him and say, what is this nonsense sermon and these men coming up here and anointing Ed? He had terminal cancer. Why didn't they take him to the doctor? We did take him to the doctor. The best doctor in the universe. And he did get healed. And so it's amazing that years later, there's one of the men that was there named Tony. He is a not really fine young man. I was over in a DFW airport. I went down to one of the electronic stores to buy something. Anyway, I was down there, and I heard somebody walk in to make a noise up at the front. And I heard him say, "Thurman Scribner!" I mean, in this great big giant place, and this guy's screaming my name. I thought, who in the world is that? And I looked up, and it's Tony. He come running back there, and he said, "Thurman, praise God." Said, "I'll never forget that night we prayed for Ed Brock at Lakeland Baptist Church." He was talking that loud. Everybody in the store. He said, "That was the greatest miracle I ever seen. I ain't never seen one like it, but said, I'll never forget that one." He's telling the world. He's seen a miracle. See, now he'd been with Jesus, like all the rest of us. By being with Jesus, we got to see Jesus do some great things. And Ed Brock, and that was in 1986, and Ed Brock had terminal cancer and could not live more than 3 more weeks. And let me tell you, from 1986 till today, he is still completely, totally healed. Does Jesus do good work?
Yes.
He does great work when we pray in faith. And all we got to do is know. But I will have to say, back in those days, we didn't have much faith. We didn't have much faith. I mean, when I was in the Baptist church, I never saw a healing or a miracle of any significance. So I had I didn't have enough scripture in me. And of course, I can understand that if somebody had said, "Okay, Thurman, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you got faith?" "Yes, sir, I got faith." "Okay, before you pray for this guy, if you have to have faith, why don't you sit down and write down your favorite 500 verses for me before you pray?" I'd have been in trouble. I couldn't have done that. But you know, I'm glad God don't do us like that. You know, you may know a scripture here and a scripture there and one here and one there. And if you really sit down and add all those up, you might be surprised. You might have 500 verses hidden in your heart. Do you know that? You very well may have hundreds of verses hidden in your heart, more so than you really think, because you have been with the King. If you're reading, in fact, I was talking to Cliff back there a while ago. He said, "You know, I still read the Bible about 2 hours a day." 2 hours a day. You know, I bet there's not a lot of people in here read the Bible 2 hours a day. But he slacked off. He said, after I first started coming to this church, he said, I spent 6, 7, 8 hours a day reading the Bible. But now then he slacked off a little bit. He's down to 2. Well, don't slack off anymore, right? Don't slack off anymore. "We write unto you that your joy may be full." When we read these promises and we look at these things that he's written for us, when we really learn who we are in Christ and what we can do as sons and daughters of God, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we know that there's nothing that he can't do for you, you can tell everybody about that and your joy can be full. I mean, you can't have a bad day. I'm telling you, you can't have a bad day. Cheryl and I pray for people in the wee hours of the morning, as a rule. Not every night, but almost every night. And we remit people's sins. We pray the prayer of faith for them. I couldn't even begin to tell you the praise reports we get back. Can you imagine having so many praise reports every day that you can't even remember them anymore? What a problem. I hate that. I hate it that I have such a terrible problem. I can't remember the praise reports anymore. Got so many. Isn't it wonderful? But see, when Scripture does say that to them that know their God, they will do great things. Do we know him? Yes, we know him. Okay, next verse. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Not at all. He has no darkness in him. Let's go to the next verse. "And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth." And do not the truth. So if you think for a minute that you can hate your brother
or your sister. And people do this now. I mean, I've spent hours on the phone with people. Sit it down right there, honey. I spend hours on the phone, just like several other of our prayer warriors here. We're talking between a husband and a wife that just can't get along. I spend hours. They will not forgive each other. There is a problem. You know, the man's not doing what he's supposed to be doing or whatever. We don't walk in love. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to sue you, first thing you ask him, are you a Christian? Yes. Okay, then I forgive you. The scripture says you're supposed to forgive me. And there's to be no lawsuits between us as Christians. Now then you find out right quick what they're made out of. Now, are they living in the flesh or are they living in the spirit? Because if they immediately start throwing things at you and saying, no, I'm going to sue you, I'm going to get even with you. You know, maybe according to that scripture, let's look at this scripture. Let's look here. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with one another and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let's see what the next verse says. Let's see. Throw a little more in there. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're walking in the light, is this the way every man and woman should walk with their mate? I mean, it's easy. Just real easy to walk with someone when everybody's doing exactly what you want them to do. Isn't it? Yeah. But all of a sudden, let's say that I'm not doing it like Cheryl wants me to do it. I'm doing something that's different or whatever. Or she said something, you know, and of course, now we have this issue quite often. She has this sweet little tender voice. And we're driving down the road in the car with those big old tires on it. And when we were driving, you can forget it. It's noisy inside the car. And she's over there talking with that little voice. And we get all the way to town or something. And she says, what do you think about that? You girls are laughing like you automatically know what I'm fixing to say. What do you think I'm fixing to say, Paula?
You're going to say, think about what?
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. What did you were talking to me? What? I drove all the way from home here, and I told you everything I wanted to do in the next 2 hours, and you didn't even hear a word I said? So this is what you have to do. I'm sorry, honey, I'll talk louder. That's the only thing she can do, right, Tony?
Yeah,
that's all she got to do. So, honey, I'm sorry. You didn't talk loud enough for me. And so we're going to have to start over and redo this whole thing. Or we're going to have to pull off the side of the road where the road noise is not there. In fact, the other day, Cheryl and I went down and drove a brand new Chevrolet, of all things. Yeah, we drove a brand new solid red Chevrolet. And I don't know what kind of insulation they had in that thing, but we could drive down the road down there in Grapevine. And with the noise and everything else, and I could hear every word she said in that car. She said, we got to have one of these. I said, let's go back and see what they want for this. We went back and looked at it, and the guy said, well, this one has everything in the world on it, so it's a little more expensive, but it's not too bad. It's only $70,000. I told her, I said, I guess you'll have to talk louder. I'm sorry. I don't have $70,000 to buy her a new car so she can hear me, so I'm just going to have to talk louder. That's all I can say. It sounds like, though, some of you other girls have a husband just like me. You know, that you talk to him and tell him things and he doesn't hear you either. You know, so don't worry about it. It'll get better. When you get to heaven someday, it'll get better. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let's see what the next verse says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, in other words, how many of us have really sinned in our life? You really think that's every one of us? Every one of us? Okay.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now then, let me ask you a question on that scripture. How many of you believe that you can be clean with no sin in your heart? According to that scripture, what do you have to do that? In other words, if you, Kim, it doesn't matter what you've done all day or what you might have lost it with the kids once or twice or maybe even your husband, I hope not, but you know you're a human being just like all the rest of these girls in here. So, but if you have sinned in the course of the day, if you feel like you're not clean and pure, all you got to do is use that scripture and ask the Lord to forgive you.
Absolutely, that's an awesome
scripture. And when you use that scripture and you confess your sin, now how clean are you?
Absolutely
washed in the blood. I mean, you're clean and pure and holy. And now then, if the enemy will come by and sit on your shoulder and say, now, but you didn't get everything confessed. But he'll do that to you. He'll do that, you know, but you have to not believe him. You got to believe the word that when I confess my sin, I'm forgiven. So now then, when I say, can I be without sin? In fact, I had a man the other day come in. He says, I heard you say that you think you can go through the day without sinning. That's not possible. I said, well, speak for yourself, sir. I said, I believe I can do it. Why do I believe I can do it? Because the word tells me I can. If I confess my sins, running around here, Miss Jackie works out here, helps us. As I'm running around praising the Lord and everything, I don't try to sin, do I, Miss Jackie? I try to walk in love with everybody, don't I? Now, I might make a mistake once in a while, but, I mean, it's not too bad, is it? I'm really pinning her down here, see. So. But that's the same way it works for all of us, right? When you repent of your sins, you're a human being just like me. So if you make a mistake, all you got to do is repent. And it's washed away and cleaned in the blood, right? So now, are we without sin at that point? Yes, we are. We don't have to live in sin. I mean, I was raised up in a church that taught me I couldn't go through the day without sinning. I just couldn't do it. But it says if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. All. So I can be clean. Then let's go to the next verse. Let's see what verse 10 says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now then, if you come to that and you say that I have never sinned, then you know that's a lie. There ain't nobody ever done that, right? No, nobody except Jesus. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we know that we have sinned, but we ain't going to continue in sin. We're going to repent of our sin and get rid of that sin, because when we get rid of the sin, then God hears our prayer. And that's when we pray for people and we see God do wonderful things for people because we're his sons. Next verse, 11. Oh, okay, the next chapter then. Yeah, verse 10, down to number 1 of the next chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Okay, now if it wasn't possible to go through life without sinning, why would he write these things? Because he says here, my little children, he's talking to you and me, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. If I do sin, and I'd like to think that it would be not a real major problem to go through life. In fact, I had a lady that used to work for me several years ago when I first started the ministry. And as we walked around here and I spoke like I always do, normal, everything, what I consider normal. And after she'd worked for me a couple of months, she says, Pastor, I got a question to ask you. What does it take to make you cuss? I said, well, ma'am, I don't cuss. She said, well, I've noticed that. But she said, I've worked for several other ministries, and I've never seen a ministry that didn't have profanity. I thought, wow. I mean, I thought that was a sin. I said, I don't sin. Not that I don't sin. I said, I guess if I do sin, I would have to confess my sin and get rid of that right quick. But I said, I strive to be led by the Spirit of God and to have no sin in my life, because I believe that's what Scripture says. She said, well, I was talking to one of these other men in this other church where that I used to be a secretary, and says, they said that it's impossible for a man not to cuss. Impossible. Now, you know, if you go into life as a Christian, into a ministry, with the attitude that it's impossible for you not to cuss, you need to come talk to me or somebody. Is that right? I mean, do you think it's possible to go through the day without cussing? Every day. We do it every day. I mean, we don't cuss. You know? I mean, hey, if we do, like Dave's told my story a few times, how that when I was a young man working in the Chevrolet house, you know, that you know, when you're 18 years old, you want to be like everybody else. You know, that's just the way it is. You're not an individual. So, you know, they smoke cigars, so I thought, well, maybe I ought to smoke a cigar. You know, and so they use a little foul word, so maybe I ought to use a few of these foul words. But every time I'd use one of those foul words, it's something in me say, you just messed up. And we know who that was, don't we? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, sure. Those boys didn't have the Holy Spirit. I was a Christian, although I didn't know what I had. I remember that I'd smoke that cigar a little bit, and I was a mechanic and laid on creepers. One day I had this little old short stubby cigar in my mouth, and I'm chewing on this thing more than I'm, you know, smoking it. But it had been smoked a little, and I've always been a fast mechanic. You know, I like to do things fast, so I'd throw something under that car and roll something on my creeper and roll under there and turn my head around, and that cigar would drag on the bottom of the car and the ashes would fall off of my face. Finally, I crawled out from under there one day, picked up the cigar and the stuff, and I threw it in the trash, and I thought, if this is what it takes, if this is the suffering you have to smoke a cigar, I'm going to be cigarless. I don't want this junk. And so I quit that, and that was the last time I ever put a cigar or anything, cigarette or anything else in my mouth. I realized sin has its consequences, and it ain't fun. You know, when that ashes falls off in your eye, it ain't no fun to burn your eye. And so then I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know that you say I'm not to speak any foul words, not any. So I am not going to speak any foul words this year. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do it. So I go through the year and I didn't make it. A few foul words would come out of your mouth. At the end of the year, I realized, I said, Lord, I can't do this. How many of you know I can't do this? We're all like that. I said, Lord, but I know you can do it. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to take away my foul words. I don't want any foul words to come out of my mouth. I want you to put a curb on my tongue and my lips. No foul words. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And that happened years and years and years ago, and it hadn't even been a struggle. You know, when you learn to ask Jesus to solve your problem, he's the only one who can solve your problem, right, Mike? And when you ask him, I mean, when you ask God to take care of your problem, it doesn't make it what that problem is. You know, now that I've spoken to Mike over there, the Lord quickened my heart to a little testimony of his that is awesome. Some of you have heard it, some of you hadn't. But Mike was putting a timing chain on a car one day, and he's trying to put these dowel pins in the chain, in the gears, so they'd line up and be just right. And he puts them in there, and then he tries to pull them out. And this one, he can't pull it out. He sat up here and gave his testimony. He said, under normal conditions, you can reach up with your fingers and grab hold of that pin and pull it right out of that gear. Ain't that right, Mike? That's how easy it was. But that day, he couldn't pull it out. God had a training plan for Mike that day that he didn't know was fixing to happen. So for hours, he worked on trying to get this thing out, and he can't get it out. Finally, his wife's thinking, now what is wrong? It usually don't take near this long to put a timing belt on or timing gears or chains or whatever it is. I'm going out there and see what's wrong with my husband. She comes out and said, honey, what's wrong? He says, I know you can't believe this, but that pin, I can't pull it out of that gear. I've tried pliers. I've tried everything. I can't pull it out. So his lovely wife said, well, have you prayed about it yet? Now, guess what? He still had a little bit of flesh in him, see? Because when his lovely bride said, "Have you prayed about it?" That just, lady, I can do this. Anybody can do it. I don't need God's help to pull that pin out. Ooh, oh, I can just hear the Lord say, "You don't think you need me, son?" It's funny now, isn't it, Mike? He's trying everything. And his wife's over there, "Well, if you want to be here all night," but said, "If you want to get it done, just pray." Finally, he comes to it. Okay, we'll pray. Now, see, this is pride in a man. Man, we all, of course, some of you girls had this problem too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But when he finally said, "Lord, I give up. I got to have some help to pull this pin out," he reached up and grabbed a hold of the pin, and it just slid right out. Is that right, Mike?
Right.
Isn't that something? When God's trying to teach you something, don't be so hard-headed. Let him teach you and get on with the course. Because what it does, a little something simple like that in a man's life, something that's so simple in the flesh, you ought to be able to accomplish that with nothing. But he couldn't do it. He found out right there that when God says, "I want you to be with me and use me and call on me all the time, in everything, in prayer with thanksgiving," that's what he wants. And as long as you do that, you won't ever have to go through another one of those trials and tests, Mike. It'll just work. The next time you put it on there, man, it'll just go great guns. But isn't it amazing how God does these kind of things? But who does he want? You. He wants you to spend time with him. Wow, does he ever want you? Okay, let's go to the next verse. "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Okay, that's a pretty powerful statement. If you come to Jesus, and it makes no difference what you have done, I don't care what you've done, if you ask him to forgive you, will he forgive you? Does he ever say no? No, he always says yes. He always answers his children with a yes. "You ask me, I will forgive you, and I will restore you." And so when people come to the Lord and they've not spent enough time with him, they don't know who he is, and they don't understand his principles, that's why people can't get healed. That's why they're sick. But if you believe, I don't care what it is, you may not get healed right off the bat. When you're prayed for, you may go through the same thing, just like Dave. You know, Dave has went through for a year and a half, Dave went through literal hell on earth before he got healed. But he finally got healed. And then when he got healed, hey, he stayed healed. But many of us, all of us, if you probably don't know it, every one of us have prayed and asked God for something that we didn't get an answer in 5 minutes. Have you done that?
Yeah,
we all have. And Paula, I'd love to come back to you. Since you had such an awesome miracle just recently, how long did you stand for your healing before it actually manifested?
It was 3 months.
3 months.
Because you prayed for me, and then you and...
Cheryl?
Yes, and then Mike and Gracie prayed for me, and then the third time I went back to Mike and Gracie again, mm-hmm. And I healed.
And you got healed, so you didn't give up.
No.
You're just like that woman where the Lord says, "Be like the woman." You know, that comes and says, "I'm going to keep coming to this judge until he gives me righteousness, gives me what I want."
Yeah, I wanted it.
And you wanted it, and you stayed there. And because you were persistent and stayed with it, he met your request. But it took months.
Yes.
What if you'd have given up in 2 months?
Oh, no.
You'd still be sick. But you didn't give up.
No.
You kept coming back. You see, God doesn't always answer, Mary. He doesn't answer you exactly when you want it sometimes, does he? But if you stay with him, he will answer it, right? That's just like the problem I'm having with my eyes. You know, as we prayed, and the Lord was telling Cheryl the other day, she was praying, said, "Lord, I want my husband to have 20/20 vision." And he says, "No, Cheryl, pray and ask me for 20/10 vision for Thurman." So that's what we've been praying. "Lord, I may have a problem with my eyes right now, but the day's coming when I'm going to be able to see like an eagle."
Right.
Amen. I'm going to see, because if God makes you a promise and you stand on that promise, you don't know when it's going to manifest, but one day it's going to manifest.
Right.
Like I asked the Lord myself one day, I said, Lord, when is all this going to happen? He says, when you wake up one morning and you look out from under that cover and there's a clock over there and you can see it clear and sharp, he said, that's when it's going to happen.
Amen.
I said, okay, so guess what I do every morning when I wake up? Look at that clock. Look at that clock. So, boy, one day I'm going to wake up and Cheryl's going to be over there sound asleep and she's going to hear screaming, praise the Lord. I got 2010 vision, praise God for the glory of God. But he's going to do it. You know, he's kept me in pretty good shape for 77 years the way it is. I'm not in too bad a shape, praise the Lord. Wow, with God. And to think, I want all of you this week as we go, I want you to realize that Christ in you is the hope of glory. These boys in 1 John doesn't have a thing in the world on you. Jesus, the same God, is with you and in you and talks to you and walks with you and rides with you and you eat with him, you sleep with him, everything, every day. Right, Paula?
Right.
No difference. It's just in the spirit. But he's there.
Yes.
And you know he's there. He proved it to you when he healed you. So you know that he's there. So walk with him. Realize he's there. Talk with him. Talk to him. Love him. Praise him because that's what he wants, isn't it, Scott? That's all he wants. Well, Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you, Lord, in the spirit realm, give us the privilege to live with you, to love you, to praise you, to talk with you. And Lord, you answer us. And you show us great and mighty things that we know not. And we are so grateful that you are our King. And Lord, as we go forth, Lord, let us be ready to share the truth of the Word of God with everyone as they go. Just like little Jenny, one of our lovely little ladies, our prayer warrior, she goes down to downtown Dallas this last weekend and talks to Muslims on the street about Jesus. Lord, give us all that boldness. That we'll go downtown or wherever, when we meet people, we will know the reason we love Jesus is because he is truly the Son of God and there is no other besides him. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for being that mighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. But Lord, the main thing I thank you for is that you're my God. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my healer, my forgiver, my deliverer, my everything. And you're with me, and there's not anything I could do, and Lord, as if I wanted to, I do not want to get rid of you. I want you there. But Lord, you never leave me nor forsake me. You will always be there. You're never, never away from me. So I know who you are, and you're the King of kings. As we go this week, Lord, bless us. Make yourself real to us. Use us for your glory. Do great and mighty things. I mean, bless people where we go. Lord, inspire us to pray for people, to lay hands on people, to do whatever you want us to do so that we can see people get saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are the mighty God, the King of kings, and nothing, nothing, nothing is even difficult for you. And help us to walk in that, Lord, because you're our God. And thank you for all these people that's in this room, that you have healed, that have all these wonderful testimonies, that they got healed and they got set free. Lord, may you use all of us mightily to do great things for your kingdom. And Lord, as the government, the Trump and his group, all the men and women that are in government that are putting on new offices and new positions, again, Lord, give them knowledge, wisdom, make sure they make the right choice, put the right person in the right place so that we can live in peace and we have no problem with the Russians, no problem with any of these foreign countries, but that we will walk in peace with everybody. And Lord, just give Trump the knowledge and the wisdom he needs to run this country in a beautiful way that people will know that the reason we're great here is because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, no other reason. Thank you, Father, for blessing us and giving these men and women the knowledge they need. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.